Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, McCollum Matthew. I'm, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Not much, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Glad to be here, as usual.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this all-new episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, you know, we'll talk about the Mets' latest moves, getting a new GM and Jared Porter. And they got, a catcher, in James McCann. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, the Giants and Jets and, Kenny Omega's big move, shocking move and appearance in Impact, even though he's the AEW champion. And we'll also talk about, the Knicks' first preseason game and much other stuff. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics and more, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about the Mets. And, congratulations to the Mets. They were finally making some moves. They got James McCann. Sure, it's not JT Realmuto, but for the past couple of years, James McCann, he's been improving on every facet of the game, offensively, defensively, and most importantly, the pitchers, they love him. They love playing for him, like Giolito and Dallas Keuchel, who was basically mentioning that, they hope he would return, but, now that's not the case because the Mets reportedly gave him a 4-year, $40 million contract. So he's going to be making New York his home. And, I've been saying for months that, they should have, went after JT Realmuto, but there are some rumblings that he didn't have any interest in coming to New York. So, if that's the case, then what else could the Mets do? You get a good catcher and James McCann, former All-Star. And as long as the young pitching gets along with him, what more could you ask for? What's your thoughts on it, Mac? Can you hear me? The folks are having, we're having some technical difficulties. But in any case, I guess he'll call me back, I guess. But, All right, welcome back, Mac.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know what happened, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, not sure what happened there, but I was saying, no, it's a good signing by the Mets. Because McCann, he's going to be a good serviceable catcher for them. I mean, they couldn't get Realmuto, Right now, it looks like it sounded like the Phillies are trying to re-sign Realmuto. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe the Mets didn't have the money to offer Realmuto. Do you think that's possibly why they didn't get him? Maybe you know he wanted more than what the Mets wanted to give him.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it as well. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, whether or not he wanted to come here. That I guess we'll never know unless if he comes. He outright says it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mets definitely did not want to give him that contract. You know, a guy who's, I think he's about to turn 30, and you know he's going to want a huge deal. And he was, you know, recovering, I think, from a hip injury, which reportedly he's healed from it now. But, you know, I guess they felt it was too much of a risk making him the highest paid, you know, catcher of all time.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, right now, you know, free agency market right now, you know, after Realmuto, McCann is the next best catcher to go after.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Mets got him, and I think he'll be good.
Yeah, I think so,
he'll be
too.
Good, because, you know, he's just 1 year removed from hitting 18 home runs, 60 RBIs. You know, he has a good batting average. You know, last year he batted 289. So, I mean, I think he'll be a good hitter for you guys, be a good catcher, definitely work with the pitchers. I mean, as he has with the White Sox and the Tigers in past years. So, you know, I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The move that's going to make this, you know, this move, you know, it looks good on paper. You know, he's improving every facet of the game, you know, in the last couple of years. But what's going to make the move even better is if, you know, the Mets do in fact get Springer and or, you know, Trevor Bauer, then this move of saving money, you know, will be, you know, all worth it.
Yep.
You know. So yeah, apparently I haven't seen the video yet, you know, but Trevor Bauer recently, I think it was earlier today, he released a video of the top five teams that he's willing to sign with. I'm pretty sure Mets is one of it. Angels is one of them. Again, I haven't seen the video, so I would assume Yankees would be three, maybe the Giants, and then five, maybe Angels, because Angels have been. Oh wait, did I just say Angels already? Was Angels the second team I mentioned?
I didn't catch that, but I'm hearing a lot about the Angels. You know, that could be a landing spot for him. It sounds like.
Yeah, because as a matter of fact, he went on social media and basically was saying, like, Angel fans, y'all supposed to be like that. And then I guess the Yankee fans were, I mean, not the Yankee fans, but the Angels fans were buzzing. And then I guess they were worried or something about the Mets rumors. And then his agent, Rachel Lubo, was saying, like, you know, don't worry or something like that. It was like weird stuff. Like, who would tell a fan base, don't worry, unless if that's your player? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's a guy that you play on the team for so many years, and then there's rumors like, oh no, he's going to the Mets, and you're like, oh no, man, you gotta re-sign him, you gotta get this guy, and then you know the agent or the GM of the team or the owner of the team, or even dare I say even the manager of the team would be saying to the fan base, you know, don't worry, you know, we kind of like what the Phillies, like you were saying, with the new hire of. Phillies hiring what's his name again? Grob Grouse. How do you pronounce his name? I knew it now, but now I'm forgetting it off the top of my head now. Dabrowski. Wait, let me go check it out. Dave Dabrowski. I'm trying to remember how you.
Yeah, I think you got it right. Yeah, Dave Dabrowski.
Dabrowski, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, they recently hired him, and you know, they, like you were telling me off the air, which you know. You know, I know about that. Basically, you know, he's gonna, you know, try to re-sign them because obviously this guy, you know, he was with the Tigers, you know, they were that close to, you know, winning a title, you know, during his era. But, you know, of course, he won the title with the – he moved on to the Red Sox and won their last title in 2018. So, you know, that guy, he has the winning pedigree. So, you know, the Phillies Civil War, you know, the Phillies demise was greatly, you know, exaggerated because the Phillies, you know, even though right now they're ranked the worst team in the East right now, they're not out of it yet. You know, they're going to try to re-sign Realmuto and try to improve the team because they hired a great GM. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, they're there. It's, you know, it sounds like they're going to try to keep him. You know, because Dombrowski is saying that there's too many good players on the Phillies, on this Phillies mm-hmm. team for them to rebuild.
Right.
So they don't want to go into a rebuild mode. You know, and they want to build it around some of these veteran guys like Harper and Realmuto.
Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. If I was on a John Middleton or Dave Dombrowski, you know, I would definitely be in that mode too. You know, like the Mets, Philadelphia has a very passionate fan base. You know, they want to win.
Yeah.
And with him coming out of Boston, you know, he knows, and Detroit, he's in a fan base where, you know, the fans really care about winning, you know, and as a matter of fact, the new Mets GM. He knows him very well as well. Jared Porter. You know, he's been a member of three championship teams. You know, the Red Sox, you know, when they broke the curse in 04 and 07. And then he went to the Cubs. And all those times he was with Theo Epstein. And then you know, which is also heating up the rumors that hopefully, God willing, Theo Epstein can come to the Mets and break this curse. You know? So he broke the two greatest curses in baseball history. Why not break the third? So let him come over here. But we'll see what happens. But Porter was the assistant GM of the D-backs. For the last couple of years, so we're gonna see. You know, this guy, he's worked in every facet of the organizations. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll do a great job. Apparently, he's very aggressive as a GM. You know, as an assistant GM, and he will be. You know, when in this job, because you know he's very aggressive. He's very analytical. You know, he's a good baseball man. You know, treat people well. So, I mean, he looks like the Mets have a great hire in him. So,
yeah,
hopefully, it'll lead to at least a title in Queens. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, Mets making a lot of changes so far in free agency, more so than they did last year.
More than they did in the last. Decade with the Wolfpens.
Yeah.
Shoot. But that, maybe I could even say the whole tenure, especially the last 20 years, because I mean, they didn't want to get Piazza. It was Nelson Doubleday. Allegedly, he was the one that wanted to get Piazza. Wolfpens didn't want to get Piazza, and in the few times they went for it, obviously it didn't work well. In 02, you know, with the second worst team money can buy part two, which unfortunately a decade before that in 92, under Wilpon's watch, when they actually spend the money, that wasn't a good idea either. But the only time that they actually spend money was in 05 when they got Delgado and Beltran, you know. And then of course in 2015 they made that Trey Alderson. And, you know, he made that trade to get Cespedes, which obviously 2015 and 2016 that worked out. But after that, Not so much.
Mm.
Oh, speaking of which, did you hear that the Mets might be interested in signing Cespedes again? Well, you know, the thing about signing Cespedes?
Oh, my God. After what happened last year?
Yeah, but not that Cespedes, his half-brother.
Oh.
They're going to try to sign him as an independent pool.
Oh.
I forgot his
Is
name.
Is he as good as his brother?
I guess almost as good as his brother.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he's one of the people that people are interested, you know, in the independent draft pool. And then this Japanese pitcher Shigano, he's another guy that people are interested in. I would assume if he's that good, he's gonna be coming to the Yankees. So I mean, any of these guys. So.
Yeah.
Any of these guys, if anybody, international or national, or even a Washington National, for all we know, you know, they're always going to be, you know, linked with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Yankees, you know, the Yankees, their number one target is to try to re-sign DJ LeMahieu.
Yes, that's been the number one priority this whole offseason. And that, he's still not signed it. I don't know what's taking so long, but I mean, I feel like they should be right on this, man. They should have signed this guy weeks ago. I don't know why it's taking so long. You know?
Oh no, they just
he's
can't.
It's staying too long, and then he ends up signing with another team, and you're gonna kick yourself in the ass because of it.
Yeah, they definitely gotta sign them. You know. I guess he wants to look at like Real Muto and Bauer is, you know, they want to be wind and dine, maybe. I don't know, but to LeMahieu's credit, man, he did his thing, especially in New York, so everybody knows what he's about, you know.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Batting title, always been a great hitter. In with the Rockies, ever since he was with the Rockies, so you know the Yankees have a gem with him. So you know Yankees will do everything in their power to get him. I mean, they want him, barring somehow he doesn't want to come, which I strongly doubt he wouldn't want to come. Return.
Oh no,
because he looked like
return.
He loved this time. He looked like he loved this time.
Yeah,
so,
Yankees are his first option, you know.
Yeah.
Right now it sounds like it's a matter of money. So.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yankees get his deal done already.
Yeah, as long as the Yankees pay him right, he'll be back.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And you know Yankees aren't afraid with money for the most part, so.
Oh yeah.
They want somebody, they'll get them. So you know. No, right now nobody should be worried. As long as if he signs it with another team, that's another story. Which strongly doubt that's going to happen. What other moves do you think they should do?
Well, you know, right now they need another pitcher. I think, you know, I'm hearing rumors that Tanaka might not be coming back, which would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tanaka, he's been very good with us, especially in the postseason. I mean, last year was an exception. But before that, I mean, he's been money when we need him in big games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been a very good pitcher for us. I think we should definitely bring him back. Hap, I think we should get rid of Hap, you know.
Yeah.
We need him. But, I mean, if we can get Bauer, you know, or one of these mm-hmm. other guys – Kluber, you know, mm-hmm. even I think that will help us a lot.
Would you want Odorizzi?
Huh?
Would you want Jake Odorizzi?
I've heard about him too. I've heard trades. He's not a free agent, is he?
Yeah, he is. He is a free agent.
Oh, he is. Okay.
But what you're thinking of is his former teammate, Blake Snell.
Oh yeah, no. Well, yeah. I know he's a free agent. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I would love to add him as a.
He would be in a trade.
Really? Wasn't he a free agent? Then.
Oh no! You're thinking of Charlie Morton. Another.
Oh right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted him. I wanted Bauer and and Morton as the number fifth starter. But before he could do the tomahawk chop, he signed with the Braves. So
yeah. So, yeah, well, we definitely need to add a pitcher, you know. But, hey, Bauer would be my top choice right now.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's looking like Angels are the number one team, the top candidate right now for landing him.
Right. Absolutely. We'll definitely see what happens there. Hopefully, you know, he'll sign with the Mets, but we'll see soon enough, or by next month somehow.
Yeah.
But then again, with these free agency these past couple of years, with the exception of this past year, you know, all this, the moves have been like ridiculously long. So for these big free agents to make their the decision, so we'll see how long they'll make it. Hopefully before Christmas, but I doubt it. But shifting gears to the Jets, man. Man, what a game. What a game that was. That game against the Raiders on Sunday. I mean, it was like I was watching the play on the final drive, the final play in slow motion.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, it was crazy. I even inadvertently did like play-by-play commentary when I'm watching this. In my mind, I'm like, I mean, I was like, he made that catch. Oh my God! You know, he made a Hail Mary or something. Whatever I said, man, it was just. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Like, it was just insane. I mean,
yeah, that was a bad, very bad call.
Yep, and that call cost him his job. And of course, we're talking about the former defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, who ironically he got fired before, you know, Jamal Adams, you know, and of course Russell Wilson, and the Seattle Seahawks, you know, host the Jets. So the Jets are now 0-12, and they're going to be 0-13 after tomorrow's game. So this never-ending journey of trying to win a game, I mean, it's been fruitless. I mean, the only good thing that's come of it is that, you know, it's making them one step closer to, Trevor Lawrence. Speaking of which, New York's going to end up with a lot of Trevors. Trevor May with the Mets. They signed this minor league guy, Trevor Hiddenberger. I forgot the guy's name. Hidden something. And then, you know, obviously they're trying to get Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And now the Jets are trying to get Trevor Lawrence. So,
a lot of Trevors.
Yep. It's going to be the New York Trevor. If everything works right.
You know, with the Jets, you know, that calling a blitz when the game's on the line, that was just poor judgment by Greg. Well, I don't know what he was thinking, but
maybe
that was
wanted
a
to get
very
fired.
Bad call. Yeah, playing a blitz there and then having the guy wide open to win that game.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know fans were going to complain about it the next day,
and
which they did. And
they stopped the plays. The play just before that, and numerous plays, man, that they could have lost the game, and they just, like 5 seconds left into the game, the dagger.
Yeah, that's just a bad call, and that cost him his job, and yet stay winless because of that, and now they face Seattle, who got beaten by the Giants last week, so Seattle, they're looking for revenge on the New York team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, Jamal Adams, who said that, you know, he doesn't have anything against the Jets and Adam Gase and all that stuff, but, you know, he circled this day on his calendar
So
yeah. Oh man, it's not gonna be fun.
Well, it's gonna be a tough game again. You know, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
These games that are coming up for the Jets are not looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might finish 0-16.
They will finish 0-16. Barring a miracle. Here's the miracle that the Jets need. They need to win a game and they need the Jaguars to win also.
So here's the Jets' remaining schedule. They play Seahawks tomorrow, and the week after that they play at the Rams. They have the Browns visiting. The Browns are playing really good this year. You know, the Browns are, you know, they're in playoff race right now. I think they're 7-5 or 8-4. The Browns are, you know, they're playing well even without Odell Beckham. Let me see. So Browns are 9-3. So they're actually better than that. They're on a winning streak, 4-game winning streak. So that's going to be a tough game for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, after that, you have the Patriots to end the season.
End the season, right. Mm-hmm.
At the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a tough one because, you know, Belichick, he doesn't like losing the Jets. So yeah, the Jets have some tough remaining games, you know. So I would say maybe the winnable game would be the Patriots because Patriots, you know, they're not the Patriots of, you know, past years without Tom Brady, and they're vulnerable right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the only winnable game. But even that game, you know, it's not going to be easy. So.
Mm-hmm. For real. I don't think. They had their chance of being the Jets. The Patriots was that game before the bye week.
Oh yeah, that's the game they could have won to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it, man. They're not getting no other chance.
Even the Raiders game they could have won that.
I know they had about 10-point lead or so on before they kept blowing it.
I know, man.
Yeah, because after the Seahawks game, they're gonna be on the road. They're still gonna be on the road, but against the Rams, they're gonna host the Browns, like you mentioned, and then they're gonna be on the road in New England against the Patriots, which, you know, that's hostile territory if you ever seen one. So
yeah.
It's not looking good at all for gangrene. At this point, they look gangrene, you know.
Right.
I mean, they look rotten, man. They better get Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence better not, you know, better not like sit out this, you know he doesn't go into the draft. But with the Jets, they probably the Jaguars probably gonna win that pick anyway.
I mean, it looks like the Jets might end up getting that, you know, the best the top draft pick if they keep losing.
Yeah. And they gotta have the Jaguars win again.
Well, yeah. Well, that'd be good, right? Because as long as the Jets keep losing, that's all they need.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been a fan of tanking, but that's unfortunately that's what's gonna happen. You know, they can't win.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with the Jets.
Yeah.
Now onto a team that has promise, the Giants. You know, they're gonna face I think Arizona.
Yeah, the Cardinals come into town. The Cardinals have been playing all right. You know, they're 500, but you know they've been in some close games. But that's going to be a tough game. But they're coming to MetLife, so they're coming into our home territory. And the Giants, that was, last week was probably their best game of the season, I think. You know, the Seahawks came in with an 8-3 record. You know, one of the best teams in the NFC.
a prolific offense, and the Giants' defense just controlled that game throughout. I mean, they put pressure on Russell Wilson, sacked him, made him call, fumble, covered the receivers well. I mean, the Giants' defense, played extremely well. Best game of their season.
Mm-hmm.
And offense, the offense wasn't too bad without Daniel Jones. I thought McCoy, my cousin, did a good job at quarterback. And Alfred Morris, he scored two touchdowns in the game. And the running backs have been doing well as well without Saquon. Goldman has been stepping up. Now Alfred Morris is stepping out. I mean, I feel like things are coming together for the Giants, and they're on this 3-game winning streak now. So I think they have a chance, to continue the winning streak and beat the Cardinals tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Cardinals are not going to be no easy team, even though they've lost, they lost three in a row and for their last five games. They've averaged, prior to their losing streak, they averaged, 30 points and 400 yards. But right now, if the Giants can hold them in check, they could keep this negative momentum that the Cardinals are in, because the Cardinals are averaging 22 points a game, of course they do have Kyle Murray who has 22 touchdowns, and he has 10 rushing touchdowns to boot. So Giants should get the victory, but it's not going to be an easy game. And of course, the Cardinals are hungry to snap this 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, tomorrow, Daniel Jones, is a possibility he might play.
Mm-hmm.
That will be helpful. But, I think that Giants have a good chance of winning this game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's going to come back, from the hamstring.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it should be a very interesting game at the Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Odell Beckham, I don't know if you heard this, but he basically was speaking out saying, he subtly blamed Shermer for the team's collapse, under Eli, basically. I don't know if you heard that interview.
Oh, yeah, I saw the video. I saw what he said, and I heard, read the article. But, yeah, I mean, Odell feels like, he should have still been a Giant. And while he was here, feels like the Giant wasted Eli's final years,
Mm-hmm.
They should have, rebuilt around him. But I feel like the Giants did try to do that. They
mm-hmm.
got Saquon, they had Odell, they got Ingram, they had guys around Eli, and yet the team was still not good, So I don't know what Odell's talking about. And Odell, I think a lot of his antics also caused some turmoil and some friction, in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't think I think he should just be quiet and, be happy that he's with the Browns now,
Mm-hmm.
He was a great player when he was with us, but he was also a distraction at times.
Right. And another thing is when he left, he was saying I think one of his first statements was like, at least not he's going to be with a quarterback who's going to throw no ball or something to that effect. So
right now he's he's nursing his injury right now. He's out for the year, nursing an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he'll be back next year.
Yeah, he really wanted to play this game. If he was able to.
By the way, have you seen his girlfriend? His girlfriend's
no,
she used to be a Wild and Out girl.
I haven't, but I mean, he's an athlete, so I mean,
she might find like
celebrity. I would assume I would assume that.
I always had a crush on her when I watched Wild and Out. Like, that chick looked fine. And then I find out earlier this year that he's dating her. Like, damn,
mm-hmm.
These athletes get everything.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I've banged my share of hot girls, right? But I'm not a celebrity. But it's just like when you have more money and like power and authority. Like, you know, you get certain types of girls to date you, you know. So, not that you can't date girls, you know, if you're not an athlete. I mean, you can still date fine-looking girls if you're not an athlete, but it's just much easier if you have money.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But that's for another show.
Shifting gears, you know, a team that would have that problem, I guess depending on what player you are, is the Knicks. You know, the Knicks, they haven't been able to attract other, you know, other star players like Harden, who recently called the Rockets, the team that he's played for years and reportedly wants out of Houston. You know, even though they just got John Wall, I think they signed DeMarcus Cousins as well. He wants out of the team because he said that the Rockets are the Knicks of the South. That's how this dysfunctional that organization is.
Wow.
So, yeah. And also he's been trying to force his way into Brooklyn, but, you know, Brooklyn's downplaying it. Steve Nash, the new head coach, you know, I'm still getting used to that, you know. He's basically, you know, the typical coach speak, you know, he's proud of the guys he have, you know, he's not looking elsewhere for the players, you know, he's going to try to win with the guys he have, which obviously that's the mindset you want as a head coach anyway.
James Harden is being a prima donna, you know, and he's being disrespectful to a black coach that they just hired for the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy doesn't show up for his first practice, and you know, because of what, he's scared of COVID. But I mean, NBA has been one of the best organizations as far as having COVID, you know, precautions in place.
Right.
You know, but he doesn't show up to practice. He goes to a strip club and celebrates with a rapper. He gives the rapper like jewelry or whatever. I think. But
Steven Jackson was criticizing him about that.
Yeah. I saw the video that Steven Jackson said that he did, and I agree with Steven Jackson. I mean,
I agree with him too.
You have this new black coach, and you know, these players are always complaining, "Oh, we need more, you know, black coaches, black management in the NBA." Then you finally get a black coach, and you do this. I mean,
exactly.
Come on, man.
Exactly, you hit it right on the head. This was, you know, Steven Silas's first opportunity. I wonder if he's Paul Silas's son. Let me, if he has any relations to him.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let me see this. No. It just came to my, it just popped in my head.
Maybe he is.
Let me see this quickly.
I've never heard of any relation between the two, but.
Yeah, I haven't either, but it just kind of popped in my head just now as I'm talking to you. Because, yeah, Paul Silas, you know, he's a former head coach, former player. Let's see if he has any relations to him. No, it doesn't look like they have any relations. I don't see anything mentioned that he's related to him, so.
Yeah,
I guess the only thing they have in common is that they're both. Wait a minute! He is his son.
Oh, he is. Oh, okay.
He is his son.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. Let me just confirm that. Yeah, it looks like that's the case. But let me, confirm it.
Okay.
Yep, he is Paul Silas's son.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, congrats to Steven following his father's footsteps.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Steven Jackson. Did I say Stephen A. Smith?
It sounded like you were about to.
Well, you know, you got to play for that black coach, man. But yeah, like, you know, Steven Jackson is right. You know, You know, this guy, he paid his dues. You know, he was an assistant coach. And, you know, he's finally getting an opportunity, and you don't want to play for him. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he's a fan favorite with the Rockets. You know, you would have thought a guy like that would have, you know, been drafted by the Rockets the way how they love him down there, you know. But, you know, that's how it is, man. These NBA players, man, they're not loyal to the teams they play for, man.
Yeah.
They always chasing for the title. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand it, you know, especially if you haven't won a title. You know, I get the hunger, you know. So a lot of the teams I root for, they don't have people that win titles, you know. And then especially in this day and age, you know, there's like an asterisk, you know, on the greatness of that type of player because oh they never won it and all that stuff. So I get it, but yeah, man, these players and these owners, they don't have loyalty, like the Bulls. Once they won, you know, the six titles, they broke up that whole entire team.
Right.
Like,
yep.
It's crazy. So, it's both ways. It goes both ways. But I just wish there was more loyalty, you know, in sports. You know, because at the end of the day, the fans are the ones that are suffering the most. Because, you know, the athletes, they're going to make their money. They're going to make their millions of dollars. The owners are going to make their billions of dollars. But at the end, you know, the fans are going to be like, what if would have happened if we could have kept our team together or if we would have went hard and got this other player? But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, speaking of the Knicks, the Knicks played their first game of the preseason. And, you know, they defeated the Detroit Pistons by the final score of 90-84. Toppin, you know, he scored 11 points. New Orleans Noel scored 10. I think R.J. Barrett scored 15. And I heard Randall had a good game too, if I'm not mistaken. All in all, I guess obviously it's preseason, and yes, the Pistons aren't good either, but you know, it's good to, you know, see them play. Oh yeah, Alfred Payton, he scored good. He played well as well. You know, 10 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. I mean, this guy almost had a Westbrook performance in the preseason. You know.
Yeah.
He would have scored more, but you know.
It is preseason, so let's not go too crazy. But you know,
mm-hmm.
Something to build off on.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, obviously Tom Thibodeau, you know, he's trying to change the culture. You know, obviously he was part of the organization at the twilight of the Knicks' dominance in the 90s. You know, defensively, you know, when he was the assistant coach of the of the Knicks under Van Gundy, and then you know he ended up leaving New York to go to Boston. You know, under Doc Rivers, and won the title as assistant coach before, you know, parlaying that to his own head coaching career. So yeah, we'll see what happens, man. You know, Tom Thibodeau is the perfect guy running the Knicks. You know, he's one of the last links to the Knicks greatness in the 90s. You know, without the ring. And then, of course, as one of the coaches they got is the best coach the Knicks had since, you know, the disastrous 20 years the Knicks have been, you know, with, you know, ever since, Van Gundy left in, like, what, 2001, 2002 season.
Yeah,
the best head coach. You got him as an assistant coach in Mike Woodson, so. And then not to mention the other coaches they have with player development and, you know, in the league and in the, you know, in college. So they got a good, they have promise, you know, they got some who, you know, who knows that the odds are against them, but, you know, we'll see if they can, you know, make, you know, change this franchise around, you know, when it counts.
Yeah, I think Nerlens Noel. I think he is a good pickup for the Knicks. I think, you know, he can definitely be a factor off the bench. So, you know, I like that signing by the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a good pickup for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, if Dennis Smith Jr., if, you know, I know he's been improving on his game in off season. You know, if he has improved, then, you know, I'd definitely like to see him get in the lineup as a starting point guard. Certainly not Frank Ntilikina. I'm not sold on Frank. Sorry.
Yeah, Frank Ntilikina, he's trying to bounce back too, but he's been saying that for years.
Yeah, I'm
every,
done with Frank, man.
Every preseason he's like, yo, I'm gonna improve my game, I'm gonna score, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. I think even Tony Parker was saying like he's glad he didn't get drafted by the Knicks. Because I guess he blames the Knicks for ruining his fellow countrymen, you know, from France. So
how Knicks ruin them? They give this guy chances, man. They put this guy in the starting lineup and he still can't perform.
I know, man.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it should be easy for Ntilikina, man. Like, just make 5 shots or draw, go to the free throw a few times and then pound the ball. You would have been a double-double dude. Like,
and he can't play defense either. His defense is not good.
And this guy is supposed to be great for defense. I mean, this is why they drafted him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they drafted him, man, like, for his defense. And how this guy was like this you know, heady player that scores and you know, he, you know what I mean, makes the right plays and all that stuff, and it just never panned out for him so far.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But yeah, we'll see what happened with that. And then lastly, you know, in wrestling, Kenny Omega, the AEW champion, you know, after he cheated against his match against Jon Moxley for the AEW title, he had assistance from like the executive from TNA, Don Callis, who has been like a longtime family friend of his, who he knew ever since he was a little kid, helped him win the AEW title, and then he did an unprecedented appearance and speech at TNA, despite being the AEW champion. I don't know if you saw the footage of that.
No, I didn't get to it, but I heard a lot about Kenny Omega, and I heard that he even called out Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Moxley, right? He
yeah.
Called him by his WWE name.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, yeah, he went full heel mode. And then he did a speech on Impact also, dressed up like Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice, you know, Don Johnson's character. But yeah, he basically was saying the same story of like how planned that him and Callis had wasn't weeks in the making. It wasn't months in the making. It was decades in the making because, you know, his uncle was I think a tag team partner with Callis when Callis was a wrestler, and basically, they conspired to make him a champion. And now, basically, he's gonna go back on Impact Wrestling again this Tuesday night. So I mean, like, do you think this might lead to a possible invasion storyline? You know, TNA versus AEW.
Yeah, it looks like it. That looks like that's exactly what's happening.
Similar to
by TNA. Similar to. Remember when WCW,
ECW,
yeah, invaded WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're trying to mimic that a bit, yeah.
Yeah. And Jericho was there both times.
I know, Jericho's always everywhere.
Well, Taz was there too, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, Jericho and Taz aren't involved with this storyline yet. I mean, so far it's just right now AEW is, you know, the locker room is, you know, PO'd that Kenny Omega, you know, he turned heel and won the title. But now he's going on this show. So it's like, it's just this crazy crossover.
Yeah.
That probably hasn't happened probably since the territorial days. Well, I mean, other than WWE having, you know, WWE and, you know, WCW and ECW have had some weird situations where they've interacted with each other. I mean, prior to the WCW ECW merger with WWE in 2001, you know, ECW had this invasion. What was it, like 96 or 97, when they had some of the people from ECW invaded. And then there was this time when Taz was the champion of ECW, and he fought, I think, Mike Awesome, who was, I think he was a WCW champion. He was a WCW wrestler, and they fought for the ECW title, even though Taz was recently signed with WWE, even though he was still the ECW champion. So they had, I think Mike Awesome beat Taz to so that the title could go back to ECW or something like that. It was like some crazy storyline. And then, of course, you know, you got the invasion of 2001, you know, that we were just talking about. So,
right.
You know, that happened. And then going even backwards, you know, Ric Flair, those kind of days, they have those people going to different territories and, you know, fighting other champions and stuff like that. So, you know, it's been a while since we've had, you know, dare I say a Ghostbuster term, crossing of the streams. You know, between the brands. And then as a result, Triple H was saying that WWE might be interested in doing something like that as well, only if it benefits them in the long term. So maybe they might do that with Evolve. You know, I mean, they did have an NXT kind of crossover, but then again, NXT is part of their brand. So, and then also AEW. They had Jericho, you know, he had a live meeting with all the members of the Inner Circle to basically tell them that, you know, if they don't get along, especially Sammy Guevara and MJF, if they don't get along, you know, the group's going to disband, which, of course, they all put aside their differences. Even Jake Hager and Wardlow put their differences aside. So they're unified front. And then Sting, you know, he made his – he spoke for the first time in AEW after he made his debut last week.
I mean, are they going to make Sting wrestle? I mean, it looks like right now, from what I've seen, he's going to be more, I don't know, making decisions, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like what he did in TNA.
Yeah. Doesn't look like he's going to wrestle.
It looks like he is, but he does look like he's teasing it that he might wrestle because he wants to confront somebody, but he didn't say who it was. It looks like he's teasing Darby Allin, who's the TNT champion, who has the face paint, who has like this punk rock kind of cross between Jeff Hardy and Sting kind of gimmick, you know, the loner type of gimmick. And he looks like he was teasing it. I mean, even Darby Allin, you know, he sits up in the rafters, you know, upper deck, kind of like, you know, how Sting used to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sting was talking about it's been a while, probably 18 years since he's been in, you know, TNT, you know, when WCW was around. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I think that's basically all I could think of in AEW right now. Shaq was there. And, you know, he spoke with Brandi Rhodes, you know, Cody Rhodes' wife, because she got attacked by, I guess, an associate of his. And that's, I guess, going to lead to a fight between her and Jade. And I'm trying to think what else happened. Can't think of anything else, really. What's happening? Can't really think of anything else. But WWE. Darn, I'm trying to think of myself. So many wrestling stuff I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, I know Roman Reigns, you know, he attacked Kevin Owens on SmackDown. NXT TakeOver, Johnny Gargano regained the title as expected. His wife, Candice LeRae, won the Women's War Games, and Undisputed Era Undisputed Era won, which, you know, they're like undefeated at War Games, the War Games match, which I thought there would have been an upset with Pat McAfee's group, but Pat McAfee's group lost. And then Monday Night Raw. I'm trying to think what happened on Monday. You remember what happened on Raw?
Let me remember here. What happened on Raw again? What happened on Raw? I always forget what happens on Raw.
I know. There's always Drew McIntyre doing something, you know.
Well, yeah, it's been – well, Randy Orton did something. He called out Bray Wyatt. Yeah, and then he – what did he do to Bray Wyatt again?
They fought – he fought against regular Bray Wyatt, you know, the Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt. And
right.
Then afterwards, he hit the RKO, and while he was pinning him, the lights went out, and then, you know, he was on top of the Fiend.
The Fiend came out, yeah.
Which was, you know, a crazy scene. But I was like, how did they do that? And then I came up with the idea, which is what happened.
Someone else dressed up as him.
No. What happened was is that the fight was taped. But the But the wrestling, you know, the wrestling thing, you know, happened.
Right.
One of the two stuff was taped. I think they said there was a match that was taped. But I guess it would have made more sense that it would have been the other way around, since it was just a few seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the parts of the segment was taped. Either the match or the actual, you know, reveal of the Fiend was taped.
But then again, you know, he's wearing a mask in here, so it could have even been someone who was dressed as him, because you don't see Wyatt's face.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And the hair, so, you know, who knows?
But, yeah, but Bray Wyatt has that distinct look, the tattoos, you know. It'd be kind of hard to find somebody to look like him like that. I mean, it's not mathematically impossible.
Right.
But
yeah, it sounds like it was probably taped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read it somewhere that was taped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it that I could think of. Anything you'd like to, you know? Oh, yes. Last week we forgot to talk about the Mike Tyson fight.
Oh, yes.
The Mike Tyson fight. You know, he should have won the match, but it was a draw against Roy Jones Jr. I think they went, the full six rounds. For the no decision. And then, of course, the story that's, you know, sweeping the nation, our very own former Nick, Nate Robinson, wearing blue and white.
I think we talked about it, right? I think we talked about it. Yeah.
I don't even remember.
We did. Yeah.
Well, he lost in basically, you know, yeah. to Logan Paul. So.
Yeah.
What can you say, man? Yeah, you might be right. We might have talked about it last week. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember we did.
Get up there in age.
I hear Holyfield wants to challenge Mike now again, so maybe that might happen now.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't be surprised. But any last things you'd like to say?
Just everyone stay safe and have a happy holiday and come back and check out Sports Urban Legend. Only on Block Talk Radio next week.
Yep, that's right. You heard the guy. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturday at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And we'll see you guys next time. He's McCormick Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.